Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Heard enough of that, didn't we, when it was number one for about 10,000 years back in the day. Brian Adams, Everything I Do It For You. And we are playing that because recent research showed that a third of people prefer listening to guitar anthems like that instead of soothing instrumentals to help them to nod off. So that's one of the questions we're asking. Can listening to music really help you to go to sleep? Or would a glass of warm milk, would that help? Should you avoid exercise in the evening? And does everybody need around 8 hours sleep? Professor Andrew Coogan, behavioural neuroscientist at the Department of Psychology in Maynooth University, is here now to bust the biggest sleep myths. Andrew, you're very welcome.
Would that song
help you go to sleep?
No.
No, not me either. I agree with you there. But in general, watching TV, listening to music or certain types of music or TV programmes, would it help?
The key seems to be sort of ritual and habit. You know, if you have an established habit as part of your wind down routine, and that study about music seemed to indicate it's really familiarity with the music rather than any specific characteristic of the music. So it wasn't like rock versus classical. It was, this is what you listen to all the time. It's really familiar. And that probably helps in the wind down and that facilitates then sleep onset.
Is there any evidence that reading is better than listening to music?
I've never seen any evidence. And what we're talking about today is a really nice example of when we look for the evidence, and often there really isn't the evidence there one way or the other. So there's maybe sleep myths out there, but there's also sleep practices that actually we don't know a lot about the science behind it, whether it is a thing or not a thing. But in general, we know routine, habit, ritual, that de-stress, that wind down, that sort of emptying our minds of thoughts, that really helps
that
sleep.
Tells your body and your mind that you're heading for
exactly
sleep. The glass of warm milk then?
Again, that's one that there's not a lot of scientific evidence on. There's some idea that there might be some chemicals in milk, something like tryptophan, which is an amino acid, which might be linked to how we make melatonin, which is this hormone that comes on during the night. But probably it's probably more just the relaxation, the ritual, just the habit of it. If that's what you do and that's what works for you, keep doing it.
Now, some people find if they exercise in the evening, they're wired to the moon and cannot sleep.
Yes, yeah, so that's a good question. So exercise, in general, exercise is very beneficial for sleep and probably across the board. It doesn't matter so much when you exercise. It's more important to exercise. If you are an evening type, naturally, you may benefit more from exercise in the evening. But for most people, it's actually more important, both for our general health, but also for our physical health, that we exercise rather than worrying about when we exercise or not.
Okay, and obviously you'll adjust that depending on whether it affects your ability to go to sleep
exactly
or not. Let's take some listener questions now. Brian is 52 and has a physical job working outdoors. He works out 3 times a week and isn't overweight, goes to bed about 10:30, sleeps for around 10 minutes, wakes up again and stays awake for 2 to 3 hours before falling asleep again. I wake most mornings around 4 a.m. and I can't get back to sleep even though I shouldn't be up until 6. Have you any advice? That sounds just so difficult.
Yes, so that really sounds like he might be experiencing insomnia. And he sounds like he might be experiencing 2 parts of insomnia. One, that difficulty in falling asleep, and 2, then the difficulty in staying asleep. I think the first port of call is always to talk to your GP. And I think there's 2 reasons for that. Sleep problems are sometimes linked with other physical or psychological health issues.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be, but sometimes they are. But also, it's really important. I mean, sleep, even if bad sleep didn't cause anything else, it's misery. Who wants it?
It's miserable.
You know,
yep.
And your GP has your overall health picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to look at the sleep issue in an individual without having that overall picture as well.
Okay. This is interesting because it comes from Mags, who's a shift worker.
Yeah.
So Mags works from 3:30 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. She goes to bed at 2 p.m. then until 4 p.m. So that's a nap, I suppose. Yeah. And then goes to bed again at 11 p.m. until 3 a.m. So she's sleeping 5 hours over in the 24-hour period in two blocks. And she wants to know, is that okay?
I mean, shift work is really difficult. There are a lot of shift workers out there. I mean, there may be a really good reason why your listener has that pattern. You know, might need to pick up kids from school.
Yeah.
So it's not ideal, but, you know, shift workers really have to work with what they got. You know,
yeah, but I mean, it's just having a 2 hour nap, and you know how you feel after you have a 2 hour nap. Well, some of us anyway, you just feel awful. And then going back for another couple of hours later on, it's just not going to, you're not going to feel good doing that.
And sleeping in the day in general, it's not as refreshing as sleeping in the night. We're not really designed to do that.
Yeah.
So there's this whole range of challenges that shift workers face. And the short sleep is another problem. We know shift workers overall experience a lot less sleep over their week than non-shift workers, even when they're working in similar types of jobs with similar stresses. Okay. It's a nature of the beast question, unfortunately.
Quite a few people have been in touch saying that they find getting to sleep is no problem, but waking up then in the middle of the night and not being able to get back to sleep, that is a big problem.
Yeah, and again, this is one of the manifestations of insomnia, that you can get asleep, maybe have 3 or 4 hours sleep at the start of the night and then be wide awake. Again, probably your GP is your first port of call. If that's ongoing, everyone experiences that once in a blue moon. You know, we all have nights when we can't sleep. But if it's happening several times a week and has been going on for maybe a month or more, then it's probably time to take action about it. And it's really important. Sleep's really important. I think people feel, I don't want to be bothering my doctor with this. You know, it's...
But it affects everything if you're not getting a proper sleep.
Absolutely everything. And it can be a real misery in and of itself. You know, it's really important.
Now, we ask you this a lot about the 8 hours. Yeah. You know, the 8 hours sleep. And I know it's not the same for everybody. Yeah. But what's too little and what's too much?
So probably the ceiling, the bottom of the floor is probably 5 hours. Now, there are a small proportion of people out there who can have 5 hours sleep a night and be fine. There's a lot more people that get 5 hours sleep, but that's not enough for them. Like your last caller with shift work, probably 5 hours. Now, sleeping too much, we're not really sure if sleeping too much or sleeping long is actually a problem.
Like if you need it, take it.
And generally, exactly. And, you know, lots of us have the sleep pattern that when we have free days from work, we have this catch up sleep and we sleep longer. And if you're sleeping longer, that's telling you your body needs it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't try to force it. And there's very little evidence really to suggest that longer sleep is causative in harm.
I have read, though, previously that at the weekends you should really go to bed at the same time as you do during the week and get up at the same time. Do you agree with the catch up sleep?
I would say catch up sleep. And the example I would use is if you have a teenager in your house who's in secondary school and they might get up at 7 a.m., you know, 7:30 to get out on a school day. You know, I don't think anyone would argue that they should be getting up at 7 a.m.
Yeah, but teenagers, though, they're different, aren't they? Because of the developing brain and they might need a bit more.
Well, they need a lot of sleep. But generally, I think if you're catching up in sleep, that's a way of your body telling you that you need it. Now, ideally, we would like to have consistent sleep patterns as well, but I suspect the catch-up sleep is more important than the consistency.
Okay, Ian and Cavan suggests on YouTube, ambient rain and thunder, which is very relaxing. You see, that might be for you, Ian, but not for the next person.
Yeah, and again, sort of white noise generators, things like that. Mm-hmm. And especially if you sleep in a sort of quiet environment where there's not a lot of environmental noise and therefore you hear anything, you know, and introducing some noise that sort of blanks that out may be actually helpful.
How long should you nap in the day if you feel tired?
So generally sort of half an hour-ish is the recommendation.
Gosh, so you'd barely be gone to sleep, but you'd be getting back
up
again.
But that's where the bang for your buck comes in. you know, and the longer you nap, the more what we term sleep inertia, you get that sort of grogginess when you wake up and you feel sort of slightly hungover.
Yes. Yeah.
So sort of shorter naps, you get a lot of the benefit and you get less of the downside.
Yeah. I have another listener here who says their husband falls asleep very quickly, then wakes up in the middle of the night, three or half three, and can't get back to sleep. So he's increased his exercise, cut out caffeine after 2 p.m., doing all of the right things and nothing really working. Would you recommend doing those things if that is a problem for you, first
you
of
know,
all?
So, you know, there's lots of reasons why you might wake up in the middle of the night. You might wake up to use the toilet. That becomes more frequent as we get older, you know. So you might want to cut out your cup of tea, your cup of coffee in the evening, watch the amount of liquid you take. But there are some cases like this where it's just an essential problem. So, yeah, they're the things to try first. But if the problem persists, again, it's really time to have a chat with
the GP. I have a habit of snoozing, says this listener, you know, the snooze button, resetting the alarm by 10 minutes, and then I can get up anything up to an hour later. How bad is that for my sleep, and how do I wean myself off the habit?
I mean, if you don't have to get up to an hour later, why not just set your alarm an hour later? You know, so you're probably at that stage, you're dipping in and out of what we call transitional sleep, you know, so it's that sort of half wake, half sleep. And in the morning, when we're coming into awakening, we're usually in dream sleep. And you're flitting in and out of that. So if you can just push out your alarm, if you can.
If you can, because it's extraordinary when you use the snooze button, you can really fall back to sleep, can't you?
Yeah.
And then feel as though it's hours later when it's 9
or
10 minutes.
You're going into that dream sleep and you're waking up from the dream sleep then.
That can't be good for you.
It's not harmful. I wouldn't worry about it.
But as you say, if you can push it later.
Yeah. I mean, what we really like is we're looking for a nice consolidated sleep block where you go to sleep at whatever, 10, half, 11 o'clock at night, and you wake up at 8 a.m. and you've been asleep all through. That's that's the ideal.
I can't keep up with these messages that are coming in. Am I sleeping too much? I sleep for 10 hours every night. If I don't get my full quota, I get tired very easily.
Yeah, that's me.
Really? 10 hours?
Absolutely. 9 or 10 hours. It's just an individual difference. Some of us have what we term a high sleep need.
So you must go to bed very early in order to get it.
I go to bed probably not as early as I'd like to. Yeah. But I would not worry about that. That's we are all different. We're all individuals. If that's what you're sleeping, that's what you're sleeping. And there's very little evidence really to suggest that longer sleep is causing any problems.
Don't worry about it.
I would not worry about it.
Okay, succumb to it. Words work for me, says this listener. The radio off as I'm getting into bed. Yep. Then I read for about an hour, then the radio on again. Music doesn't work for me as I listen. And if it's by a favourite composer, I'm riveted by each note.
Yeah.
Speech does help, though. Whether it's listening back to a drama or political interviews, they work very well. I think there's a point in there.
Listening back is probably the key thing. So this is something familiar, you know. You're not really having to switch your brain on too much to tune into it.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're out of time, but Andrew, we will have to have you back again. As I say, we can't keep up with the questions. Thank you very much for coming in, Professor Andrew Coogan. And that's it for today. Thank you for listening. Today's programme was produced by Rachel Graham. Research by Emma Cawley. Louise Kerr-Ross was our broadcast coordinator. And Harry Bucklis was on sound. Now, just coming up to midday, let's go over to Louise.